Auntie Gina. And we're your weird aunts. The show where we take a look at current pop culture and talk about how it connects to past trends and fads. Okay.
Yeah.
So, happy horror days.
Happy horror days.
Yeah, I couldn't let go of the spectacular Halloween season. We did record Return to Oz, which was great, and my computer ate my audio recording.
Yeah, like the Babadook.
Yeah, and it's a cursed.
Some shit is cursed, and you don't revisit it. You just accept it and move on.
That's the thing. I mean, I feel like sometimes the universe isn't ready to return to Oz. We weren't in that place.
It was too much.
But just like the holidays is too much, and that's why we like to cope by watching horror movies, and that's why it's the horror days. Mm-hmm. Happy horror days.
Happy horror days.
So eat your stuffing, you know, watch some horror and cry yourself to sleep or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah. Always eating stuffing, always crying to sleep.
Yeah, no, it's true. So do you want to tell them what we watched? Oh, so do you want to look it up on your phone and I'll cut right to it and pretend that you were totally prepared?
I forgot to read it.
No, it is totally okay.
I'm so sorry.
I am sitting in a place of judgment. Now, my short-term memory could never. It is so good. I'm always prepared. It's like when they call you to read in class and you're like, no, I'm not emotionally prepared to read right now.
It's such a short fucking description too. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Oh, okay. So hey, Ruthie, I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Did you have a description of the film we chose to watch?
I do. Okay. It says, a woman staying at an Airbnb discovers that the house she has rented is not what it seems.
Okay. Interesting. It's called Barbarian.
Oh, I'm sorry. We watched Barbarian. I thought it was an A24 movie just by, you know, like, it's been getting a lot of hype out there. Like, a lot of, you know, I've been hearing in the horror circles about, like, this movie. You gotta watch it.
Yeah.
But it's not A24. It's not. But it's very reminiscent of those, you know.
Yeah, it's a smart film. If I were in this film, it would have been exactly 3 minutes long.
Oh, same.
Yeah. when I like this film should just be called When You Make the Wrong Decision Every Time.
yes. I didn't... Okay. So this film, at first, like... Well, once I started getting into it, it reminded me very much of, like, a Jordan Peele movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean...
Now, why... In what way?
Because you know how, like, his films are, like... he gives you, like... how do I explain it? It's like how Get Out.
This is not what I signed up for.
Like just really fucked up shit happens to like people and it's weird and everything seems kind of normal and you go with it, but then it's like, no, this is not normal. None of this is normal. And then why are you continuing to do this?
Right.
Why do you keep along with this?
But to be fair, I think that when most people have looked at decisions I've made, they could say very much the same thing, which is...
like a Jordan Peele movie.
Why are you doing this? Why do you continue to do this? this looks dangerous. And fair enough. But, let me see. I hope I still have it. I saved Lucille Baller on Twitter. Oh. And she says, shout out to my sis. She did everything wrong and still made it through. And that, like, you can't get a more accurate.
Yeah.
Because, so, and the other thing, too, is that, so this is set in Detroit, which we covered, It Follows was also set in Detroit. And I was like, is this Detroit, Slovakia? Like, it looked... because it had a very Eastern European vibe, too. I really couldn't put my finger on it, but I think it was indeed was shot somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Really?
I swear to God. I swear to God. I feel like I read that. But, because it... Well, let me tell you why that makes sense to me. And if I'm wrong... please excuse me.
Okay.
But that sort of like the end of an empire feel where if you go to, it's like after the decline of communism and capitalism in Detroit's case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sort of this weird, amoral place where like the cops don't even care. There is no sense of, you know what I mean? Like, nobody, when you're in trouble, nobody's coming to get you.
Oh, that's Portland right now.
There is a time where it's like, oh, you know, I don't know what happened, but, like, the basket of apples was taken from my porch. It's like, we'll get down to the bottom of this. And now it's like, hey, I just escaped an underground prison, and the cops are like, shut up, crackhead, like...
Yeah.
You know, go back to your underground prison.
Listen, we got more important things to take care of here.
God knows what, because why are you out in the middle of Detroit, Slovakia anyway? Because this place, I was like, where is this, again, where is this meant to be? It felt like so remote. Because, so we have, like, our protagonist arrive at this Airbnb, which I don't know if you've ever, like... As somebody who is, like, already, like, antsy about Airbnbs,
mm-hmm.
if I showed up and there was another dude there...
No. Goodbye.
Yeah. And not only that, but it just happens to be, in this case, it happens to be a Bill Skarsgård.
Wow.
And God bless him, because in this movie, he was not a villain, but how were we supposed to know?
We didn't know that.
Yeah, it's funny to me that, like, they had to go, he was like, he knew that she was tense about, it was like, you know, how about I open this bottle of wine, I won't make you tea, because I didn't drug the tea, and it's just like, you know, the fact that he was aware of how, like, for a woman.
He was being very good about it, I think, which was very threatening.
But that's what's so sad. There really is no winning.
No.
There really is no winning. But it's like, he did acknowledge the fact that, like, you know, women really do feel like they have to, you know, navigate a truck. And in her case, she was right.
Yeah.
Well,
not about him, though.
I swear to God. So... I remember when you had already seen the film, you wanted me to watch it, and yep. I was like, it's a time loop horror. Is it a time loop? You were like, nope. I was like, okay. I was like, it's an interdimensional horror. You're like, absolutely nope. Not. Because it was so hard for me to believe that it was just a straight up underground torture pit that somebody found their way inside of on purpose.
That's what happened. So Tess ends up staying there with Keith. His name was Keith. Bill Skarsgård was Keith. So Tess stays there with Keith. She decides, for whatever reason, because he's like, I'll take the couch. And she's like, are you sure? He washes the sheets and everything for her. Like, he's being very nice. He's wanting to make her feel accommodated, even though, like, and you feel like, oh, fuck, he's part of this, obviously, because he calls the rental Airbnb place and, like, isn't it, he couldn't get a hold of them or something? Like, I don't know, something stupid happened. And so he's like, well, you know, all the hotels are booked because there's a convention going on, so you're not going to be able to find a hotel. And it's like, oh, how convenient, of course. Like, I would at least call a hotel and be like, hey, is there a convention going on? Do you have an opening? No, she doesn't do that. And so then he's like, oh, I'll just sleep on the couch. So again, he washes the sheets for her. And she's like, okay, cool, thanks. Like you said, he opens a bottle of wine in front of her. And then like they start having this conversation. And they start having all these things in common. And they kind of build this friendship, and you think they're gonna fuck or something. I don't know. That's the vibe I got. No? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Okay. I mean, they were drinking a whole bottle of wine. I'm like,
yeah. But she's already like, it to me, it's wild because like she's like escaping a bad relationship and already like, you know, trying to set up for a new relationship. And I'm like, I don't know, like maybe like take a break, like take yourself out. Like maybe like what you need right now is not a man, you know,
maybe like go find a hotel room.
Yeah.
Like in your car, you got an SUV.
And not only that, but it's like, so, and where does this, you know, oh, you know, this sort of crush on this guy get her go further into an underground bunker.
Right. So she goes into her room that night, gets all ready for bed, goes to sleep, blah, 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 wakes up, and the door is open. Did she or did she not lock the door? I don't think she remembered to. He told her to lock her door, and I don't remember if she did or not. Anyhow, point being, he was making weird noises in the night while he slept, and she's like, what the fuck? Gets up, goes out in the living room, and he is making like torturous noises on the couch. And so she wakes him up for some stupid reason, and then he freaks out and he goes back to sleep, right? And she's like, okay. And she's like, I thought I heard a noise. Never mind. Goes back to sleep. Goes back to bed.
Yeah.
Was it the next day that this happens again? So then she's there basically because she's there for a job interview at this place, right? So she goes to her job interview that day. They're sharing a key because she never got a key for the place. She never got a key. It was supposed to be in the thing. She never got a key. So he has the only key. He's like, well, you know, don't forget to put the key in the box.
In the lockbox, yeah.
Yeah, so then she goes to her job interview. Everything seems great. And then as she's walking out, the gal that interviewed her is like, oh, where are you staying? And, you know, she tells her the neighborhood that she's staying in. She's like, oh, you don't belong there.
Yeah.
Don't go there. And she's like, well, I'm just, you know, it's nice. It's fine, whatever. And she's like, no, you need to leave.
Absolutely, yeah.
And she doesn't.
Yeah, and she was just like, beyond, like, she was like, look, beyond this job interview, whatever, I'm just telling you as a, like, in a very sort of sisterly way.
Yeah.
You're not familiar with the city. You're like, you need to get out of there.
Get out.
You're not safe. Like, and again, it's like, had this been me in this movie, if I had made it this far, which my, with my anxiety could never, darling, it could never, like, I would not fall asleep. No. I would be pissing my pants. And then that morning, it's like at first light, I'd get in my car and I'd get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I'd still go to my job interview, but then I would leave. I would fucking leave.
Sure. I'd go to a Starbucks. I'd do my makeup in the bathroom and I would never go back.
Right. So then she does go back.
Yeah, that's not what our heroine decides.
She goes back, gets out of her car, and a man starts fucking chasing her.
Yeah.
Baby girl, baby girl, baby girl. And she's like, oh my God. And she runs into the house.
And he's like, you need to get out of you there. Like, it is here. A bad place.
Yeah, get out of that house.
And again.
Again.
Like, can I? Okay, this reminded me of the time, like, you know, like, I grew up super religious, and we had, like, you know, like, traveling preachers, and there was this story that was really popular where, like, there was this awful flood, and this guy, like, kept praying, he was like, God, save me, and then this guy comes in a boat, and the guy's like, no, 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 I'm fine, because I'm praying, and any minute now, God's going to come save me, and then he gets to, like, the roof of his house, and, like, somebody's in a helicopter, and he's like, no, I'm fine, like, God's going to save me. And then he drowns, and he's like, God, like, what do you mean? I prayed for you. He was like, I sent you a boat and a helicopter.
Oh, oh, oh.
That was me. And it's like with her, it was like, I can't, how many signals, like,
yeah.
There were so many people. If, like, your internal red flag system is, like not working at the moment, there were so many people that were like, hey, like, I feel like that place is super dangerous and you should get out of there, you know?
Fucking leave.
Yeah, but, go to an adjoining city.
But she was, yes, yes. But then she was too scared of the man running at her, which, okay, understandable.
Fair enough, yeah.
But at the same time, he's telling her to get the fuck out. Don't stay in that house. It's not good.
Right.
She's been warned twice, okay, by two different people.
Mm-hmm.
No. She decides to stay another night.
Again, like, suspending disbelief. And the worst part, okay, so I'm not sure, like, the exact timeline of events. But she, for some reason, she has to go. Why does she have to go to the basement?
Because.
I mean, I know the door keeps opening.
Because Bill Skarsgård, Keith. Isn't there.
Oh.
And so she's like, Keith, Keith, where are you, Keith? And then she goes down there and she sees that weird rope coming out of the wall and like a door-shaped.
I mean, look, it was good to know you, Keith, again. Sorry, it could happen to a better guy, but surely you understand that I cannot go into secret doors.
Enjoyed the wine.
You know, and honestly, I wouldn't hold it against you either if you chose not to do that. Go ahead.
Oh, well, she pulls on the rope. In the basement, she pulls on the rope and then opens the weird door, the cement door.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a Chuck E. Cheese, and that's the end of the movie. And it's a bad place.
It's a bad place. Okay, so she goes in a little bit and starts yelling for him. Then she's like, ew, I don't know, and then turns around. And the door to the fucking basement closes and locks her in. So now she's stuck in the fucking basement. What does she do? Well, I guess I'll just go into this underground tunnel and keep looking for Keith.
Absolutely not. Again, absolutely not. N-O-P-E forever.
She's seeing these like dog, human-sized dog cages with like slop in them, who knows what. Let's say blood. I think there was blood. Still, Keith, Keith, where are you, Keith?
Right. You know, it really sealed the deal for me was the AV room 1995 VCR TV combo. And the camera on a tripod with a dirty mattress.
That mattress was soiled beyond belief.
Yeah.
Every stain imaginable was on that. No sheets on it.
And there's a video, I think, of, we find later, the video is of a woman teaching. It was an instructional breastfeeding video.
Yes, in a different room.
So, and I think that, like, what this calls back to is that there are several cases in Europe and the States of people who built extensive, like, underground compound where they kept kidnapped women for years.
Mm-hmm.
For years. So this isn't the most, like, shock. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
It's gross.
Again, it's gross, and I really would have just gotten out of there. Yeah. So,
too late now. The fucking door's locked.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And the other thing is that I think this is when we get the introduction to the monster.
Yes. So,
go ahead.
Keith comes, finally, running at her like a fucking dog. Scares the shit out of you because it's Bill Skarsgård running full speed on all fours at you.
Right. Like, it's such a wild manner that even his eyes have, like, gone to either side of his head. Yeah.
So normal Bill Skarsgård look.
Right.
Looking directly everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then something pulls him back and proceeds to kill him.
Right. Right.
Bashes his head into the wall.
Yeah. So, so as an audience, like, that's like, isn't, we're sort of left there, and then new character is introduced.
Yeah, it's AJ, played by Justin Long.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, like, he's the, like, the song that he's, like, singing as he's, like, on the Pacific Coast Highway. It's, like, the song about, like, Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Yeah.
And, like,
what the fuck was that?
Well, because I think this is all kind of a setup for, like, the mongoose versus the snake.
Okay.
Where, you know, it's just, like, honestly, like, the tenacity of women. You know, and it's like, despite the fact that we don't, you know, you would think that the snake would win every time, you know, just sort of like the, you know, having to, like, depend on your, like, wits. And then, you know, that was the assumption I made.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does happen.
I saw on, It was a TikTok from, I think her name is Film Sis. I'll get it on your FYP.
Thank you.
But essentially she was saying that, you know, there's been this discussion where, like, people like Kubrick make, like, the aging female body sort of like a plot point in a lot of horror films.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I don't think this is an example of that. I think that this is sort of an example of, you know, that women, that men can be abusive to women, and they, like, to where there's even monstrous results, and then they're scared of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, scared of what they've created in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I was like, that's a really clever read. Because, you know, the only people who make it out of this evil maze are, women that have had to navigate out of similar tricky situations before.
I think that's,
if you're not,
that was the point I was going to make, is like,
oh, sorry.
No, but just like, maybe I can bring it up later. I don't know, but.
Ooh.
You know, I think for her, for Tess, I think the reason why, she makes it out alive. I think the reason why she does is because she plays along with everything. You know, she goes like, okay, so let me set something up really quick. So, AJ, he's like this, I think he's like a Hollywood, is like a producer or something. So he ends up getting accused of raping a woman and like an actress, I think. And so he's basically blackballed, you know, and you, Jesus, like the way they did it, I was like, I mean, at first I was like, oh, wow, you know, did he do it? Why the fuck am I questioning this? Who cares?
Well, it, you know what's so wild to me, though, was that the I love the way they presented that because it was like there was nobody fighting for him.
Right.
Like, I feel like every single person that worked with him was like, yeah, this is within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it was like, it was sort of like a scenario. It was kind of like a coercive, you know, essay. Mm-hmm. And they could, they're like, yeah, I could totally see this guy, you know, taking it too far and somebody feeling like, you know, they feel like really pressured and don't know what to do. And yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the thing, is that if somebody has an accusation and there's like absolutely no one that at the first word of it, they're all dropping you. Everybody. Like you need to, yeah.
So then he goes to, was it his agent or something? They're like, well, we're dropping you. And he's like, this is how much money you're going to have to make in order to keep your house. And he's like, I'm not selling that house. And he's like, well, you're broke. He's like, you're going to have nothing at the end of the month.
Yeah.
If you don't sell it. So, of course, like, he does have a house in Detroit that he owns. What?
Yeah, so come to find out, he's the one that actually owns this Airbnb. And I don't think he knew. He certainly didn't know that there was an underground compound.
No.
Underneath. And in fact, his reaction when he first sees it is to immediately look up if that extra square footage can count towards the price of the house.
Yeah, he keeps going. He goes down. He finds the he finds the same. I don't know if he found the rope. I think he did. Goes into the mm-hmm. thing, and he's just like every way. He's got like his fucking the tape measure, and he's like measuring all the distance. He's not even paying attention to the creepy room.
No, he's just moving the dirty mattress out of the way.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Money. He keeps going, and you know, eventually he runs into Tess, who's been down there for who knows how long. I don't know how much time has passed. And
yeah.
And then the woman yeah. that's keeping them there
yeah.
like basically is above them and is like right. trying to, has like a bottle she's like trying to feed them and Tess is like right. just drink it.
Yeah.
And he's like what? And he's freaking out. He's so scared. And she's like just do it, you know? Because she's been doing it for how long, but she's still alive because she's going along with it. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's like all she cares about is survival. And you know, it's like her instincts are kicking in. And I feel like, you know, that was kind of to my point is like, as a woman, you have to go through all these things in order to survive. And definitely probably used to like being in situations where she's in danger or, you know, things may have happened to her where she's like, okay, I'm going to have to do whatever it is that I have to do to survive. Now, prior to that, she didn't care about Keith mm-hmm. being deranged. But now that she's down there, she's going to do whatever she has to do to survive. And this is when she starts to try to protect AJ from what do you want to call her? From the mother.
Yeah, I'd just call her mother.
From mother. I don't want to call her monster because
no,
that's rude.
It's not her fault.
It's not her fault. She's stuck down there too.
Yeah.
So this whole time, she's trying to protect him and then also, you know, get them out of there. Like, try to figure a way to get them out of there. Because they're stuck. And mommy doesn't want to let her baby go. And no, she gets mad because AJ does not want to drink from the bottle. And she's like, excuse me, baby.
Right.
Drink the bottle, yeah, baby. You're
not going to thrive if you don't get any milk.
Yeah.
Like a puppy.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think, you know, there's like a trauma response called the fawn response.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if men have to use it as much as women do, but it's like, you know, if somebody's like hitting on you or whatever, and it's mm-hmm. like you're not trying to incite violence, and so you're trying to, you know, oh, I'm actually married, or, you know, I'm in a long-term relationship. You know, it's like these sort of,
right.
And like, you know, you can just tell the difference in that's, and those two people where he's just like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, let me out of here. And it's like, okay, I don't think you understand. You're not really in a position to negotiate right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, why don't you just listen to her? Clearly she's alive and down there.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it just an asshole to the very end, you know?
Yes.
It's like to the very end. And it's like wild because they finally, you know, at some point they do like get out of her grasp and they end up on like the top of this water tower, which they've been told like she can't climb. And then at the first appearance of threat, he after Tess has like done all of this to try to get him safe and try to get him taken care of, he like literally yeets her off of this off.
Well, so they like they escape because of her. So she breaks the window in the basement. They get out. She helps him get out of the house. And that guy that came running for her, you know, to tell her to get out of the house initially. He helps her, like, he pulls her out of the window, gets her out. And so then he takes them to his little encampment place. And he's like, well, she's never come over here. So why don't you, you know, stay with me over here? You know, I'll keep you safe. She's never, you know, gone beyond this point before. I've never seen her. And so they're like, okay, cool. And so they stay there. And then guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? She kills our friend. Yeah. She makes it through the fence and she kills our friend.
Yeah.
And then, right. And then they get on the water tower. And not only does he yeet her off the top of the water tower, he fucking pretends like, oh no, I was doing it to protect you.
And what's so wild and I thought was like such a really like good scene is that what we do find is at the end of the movie is that the person who's responsible for building this underground bunker is still there,
mm-hmm.
and he's like on his last legs, he's dying, and he's got all of these like there's like a trunk like that reminded me of Lake and Ing that had all of those VHS tapes of all their crimes.
Yeah.
And so, like, he finally sees this man, and, you know, he shows, like, at the beginning, he's, like, shows, like, great sort of compassion for him, like, can I get you some water and everything mm-hmm. else. And then he realizes, like, oh, wait a second, like, this is his torture chamber that we're in.
Whoops.
And he takes a look at the video, and it's wild because he's, like, you know, he's like, oh, this is, you know, this is so awful. Like, you're such a monster. And it's like, yeah, but so are you, dude.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's like wild to me that it's like, he's just at the extreme of the culture, but like you participate in it too.
Right. So then it takes you, yeah, because then they show like how it kind of all started.
Right.
It's like alluded, or not alluded, but said that like, so he, it, what was it like the 80s, I think? Yeah, because they're like 80s, showing stuff about Reagan. And when they go back, like the neighborhoods, like, you know, every like residential neighborhood, USA, you know, all the neighbors talk to each other, blah, 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 blah. But then things start going downhill. And one of the neighbors says that he's moving out of the area. And he asks him, are you moving out too? And he's like, no, I'm not moving. I'm staying here. And, you know, he goes to the store. He goes to the store and he buys supplies like baby like diapers and all kinds of stuff. And the lady's so nice. She's like, oh, are you having a baby? Oh, yeah, we're having a baby. Da, 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 da. So he, oh, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. And he's like, okay, great. And he buys all this stuff for the baby. And so then you get an idea of like, oh, okay. So he is planning on just to keep going with this. Who knows how long this bunker's been down there, right?
Well, I mean, since the 80s.
At least. When did he start? Yeah. So he's going to stay there. He's going to keep having babies. Babies having babies. Whatever.
Yeah.
So that's basically how the mom ends up the way she is because he is having, he's having, you know, continuing
children with his own children.
Yeah. So anyways, that's how that starts. So then the neighborhood becomes, you know, impoverished. That's what happens. Everybody leaves and he's the only one that's still there in that neighborhood. You know, you think, oh, okay, well, this is a nice looking house. This is, you know, nothing bad could be going on here.
Yeah.
When in fact.
You know, I do think in the movie that there's actually, you end up having a real sympathy for what would be the monster character.
Oh, absolutely.
I think in the end, like, there's a real sympathy there, like, sort of like Frankenstein's monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, I love the way that it was shot. It felt very Hitchcockian to me. I thought they were, like, it, I was scared the whole time. I mean, I know you don't get scared in scary movies, but I'm like the opposite. I get scared.
I mean, it was tense because, you know, I feel like with this movie, you kind of didn't know what was, you were hoping things were going to turn out a way. But, you know, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, like at a point where you have mother, her name is Mother. So you have Mother chasing after them and everything. Meanwhile, Tess is also mothering AJ because she's trying to protect him, even though time after time he has put her in danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's still trying to protect him like a mother would try to protect her child. And and then, you know, the mother, she just wants to protect Tess. Like, that was her child from AJ, who is clearly a threat.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think. Yeah. So I just, and I do love the setup that it is that sort of, you know, these sort of like women that, you know, just have to persistently survive in this sort of like hostile male environment.
Yeah.
That they all, you know, participate in one way or another. But it is that time of the podcast, Ruthie.
Oh.
It is. The time has arrived.
Is it already that? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you're prepared.
I'm,
but I am.
Please. Well, let me go first because you sound like yours are better than mine. Okay. So this is when we pick our songs for the Spotify playlist. These are just a few little tasty morsels that we're going to give you until you can listen to the entire thing, songs that we chose. So the first song that I chose was Mother by Danzig.
That's what I chose!
Of course you did!
Oh my god! Oh my god, I was so excited about that! Yes! Oh, that is funny!
How could you not?
That is funny. Mother. Okay. Tell your children not to walk my way. Yeah.
Then the second song I chose was Cool Thing by Sonic Youth. Because...
Ooh!
Yeah, because, like, in it, you know, Kim Gordon is talking about, you know, women being liberated from white male oppression and... And I, you know, clearly that was a huge part of this movie. And then the third song I chose was Monster by Lady Gaga.
Ooh, interesting choice. I love all of these. Oh. I love all of these picks.
Okay, thank y'all.
That is funny. Well, as you know, I also chose Mother by Danzig. that is funny. But I also did Heart-Shaped Box.
Oh.
But, and also wanted to do Hidden Place, my good old Bjork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would 100% recommend this film. I thought it was super fresh. Like, this was his debut film.
Yeah, so. Was it Nate? From White as Kids, you know?
Yes! Yes! It was, oh, I, like, looked it up. So, it's directed by Zach Kreger. And, yeah, he was, like, involved with all those, like, well, they're not really kids, but, yeah. So, yeah, I just thought, like, I just saw a lot of potential there, and I think it's great. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, a really fun horror film.
I liked it a lot, too.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest it.
I really like how, I think like most horror movies have an underlying thing that they're trying to say about it, you know. But I find that a lot of the newer horror movies, you know, well, I mean, obviously because they're new, but I feel like they have politically a lot to say or it really resonates with what's going on today. And I really like that about this movie.
Yeah, I do. I think I remember watching, I don't know, it was like a horror documentary, and they were just saying how, interestingly enough, that horror films always tend to be a little more progressive as far as, like the themes that they're warning against, that sort of, like, hostility and racism, fascism, and, you know, these sort of, you know... sexism.
It's always like mirroring like the atrocities of real life, you know, but then they put like a monster in place of white men.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm sorry, not sorry. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. But, yeah. So take a listen. Okay, so with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show.
Yeah. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Gmail, Twitter. I'm pretty sure nobody's trying to copy our Twitter. Check us. It's us. We don't have a blue check either. I mean, but it's us.
Yeah, for real. And, yeah.
Like us. Follow our playlist. It's on Spotify.
Please do. It's always good.
They're always fun.
Yeah, that thing we were just talking about.
You should listen to them.
Like, honestly, guys, if you forgot. yeah, and, you know, we're going to keep doing Happy Horror Days.
Happy Horror Days. We're bringing you the gifts.
And I'm your Auntie Gina. And
I'm your Auntie Ruth.
And a weird.
You're weird.
You're weird.